Hello, Paul Auerter with Medscape Infectious Diseases and speaking from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. I've just finished several weeks on the inpatient infectious diseases consultation service, and no surprise, we were asked to assist in some management of Clostridium difficile or suspected cases. Having finished this, I continue to be surprised at really, I would say, the different practice patterns and assumptions often by house staff and others on how to best manage this. And I thought I'd spend a few minutes just musing about a couple of these areas. First is just on diagnostics. Many institutions have adopted molecular testing technologies for C. diff as a more sensitive assay compared to toxin-based methods. However, I see the test being used on people that might have one or two loose bowel movements, clearly not C. difficile, low pretest probability, likely antibiotic associated or related to tube feeds. So I think continued efforts to try to educate people on when to order a Clostridium difficile test is truly important, and of course always remains within some realm of judgment, but typically, you'd like to see a number of loose bowel movements as progressive before considering that. Second, oral vancomycin, by a number of studies, has become the drug of choice, I think, for moderate and certainly severe Clostridium difficile infection. Yet, I see metronidazole, oral or IV, continue to be used by some, even with potentially severe C. difficile. A recent large Veterans Administration study, indeed, has just confirmed the fact that vancomycin remains certainly superior for severe C. difficile with 4% less chance of having mortality at a 30-day endpoint. A couple of other things that I see routinely that I'm not sure has any real basis in patients that do have a functioning alimentary canal. I see IV metronidazole being combined with oral vancomycin with the typical American medicine philosophy that more must be better when that's clearly not the case. I see vancomycin 500 milligrams four times a day being routinely employed in patients without an ileus. Again, I think the idea that 500 milligrams must be better than standard 125 milligram dosing, having really no good basis. In fact, the intraluminal levels of vancomycin are just sky high at 125 milligrams with this non-absorbable antibiotic. And the third is I see people sort of adopting a vancomycin taper for almost all people, and even people that might be getting antibiotics concomitantly or systemically. Of course, there's a wide practice pattern, but certainly I don't think first-time C. diff people truly require vancomycin taper and potentially could have other detrimental effects on the microbiome. Another issue, I think, is just fecal microbial transplantation. This, I think many of us thought was a godsend. Early studies showed really high success rates, but now with more experience, we're seeing cases that are not improved by FMT. And indeed, a recent study by HOTA, a small open label study, was terminated early because they saw recurrence rates in FMT of 56% compared to oral vancomycin with a 6-week taper at 41%. So I think as we begin to expand the use of FMT, and we're not really sure what the right population that it might best target would be. Another issue is fidaxomicin. We said oral vancomycin is really the drug of choice for severe C. diff, but fidaxomicin has been proven, I think, to have a lower recurrence rate instead of that 25 to 30% range, more in the upper teens, but yet the expense has been a barrier for widespread adoption. But now we have a new drug approved and now on the market, a recent New England Journal article on bezlotoxumab. This is a monoclonal antibody against toxins A and B. Exciting technology to help reduce what seems to be about a 10% reduction from customary treatment recurrence rates. But again, how this will fit in and with costs, I think, might largely mimic the fidaxomicin story today. Lastly, of course, as an ID physician, You know, some of the best successes against C. difficile remain with limiting antibiotic use. A recent study from the United Kingdom really showed the impact of limiting fluoroquinolones, which really had a marked improvement in terms of C. diff rates on a population basis. So lots of areas for ID physicians, I think, to have individual impacts on patient care and larger impacts in terms of stewardship. You may have your own thoughts or see some other practices that really don't have a great basis or have misunderstandings. I'd be happy to hear about those. Thanks very much for listening.